Good morning. My name is the Reverend Chris Graham, and I'm one of the ministers at All Saints Church. And I'm going to preach a sermon this morning about 2 months, because this is Mothering Sunday, and we're going to look at 2 mums, Hannah from the Old Testament, who lived at 1100 BC, and Mary from the New Testament, who at the time she kind of gave birth to Jesus, it was about 4 BC probably. The reading for Hannah can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 all the way to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel verse 11. And you can find the readings about Mary in Luke chapter 1 verses 35 to 37 and 45. To 55. So we're going to continue now and have a look at Hannah to start with, and how her life is impacted by the prayers that she prayed. And we're going to move on and look at how Mary prayed when she found out she was having the baby Jesus. Because we've been following a prayer course at church based on Pete Gregg's book, Prayer. And we've called our sermon series Prayer Everywhere. And Mothering Sunday is a kind of break from that. But I thought it would be good to look at 2 mums and how their prayers impacted on their lives. So we now move on to the slide that shows us Shiloh. And Shiloh was a great big centre of worship in the Old Testament at the time that Hannah lived. Indeed, Shiloh was the place where the temple was to be found before the temple was built in Jerusalem by Solomon. And Shiloh was the centre of all Jewish worship at that time. And you can see from the red arrow on the map where Shiloh is, and it's just kind of north of the Dead Sea and sort of on the way to the Sea of Galilee, across towards the Jordan, but not quite down in the Jordan Valley. So that's where Shiloh is. It's in a sort of mountainous, hilly area. And in Shiloh there was a temple, as I said, and the priest there was a guy called Eli, and he had 2 sons who were also priests. Today that place, as you can see from the slide, is simply an archaeological site, a ruin basically. But this was the temple where Hannah went with her family once a year, the same as many Jews did at that time, many of the Jewish people, to celebrate their worship of God, to give sacrifices, and to do what was commanded in the law of Moses in their yearly devotions to God. Now you'll see from this next slide that Hannah was one of the wives of a guy called Elkanah, and the second wife was a lady called Peninnah. Now, this was a really difficult family relationship, because Peninnah had several children from her husband, maybe up to 10 children. But Hannah had not had any children. And she was considered in those days what was known as barren. And when they went to Shiloh every year, to celebrate the great sacrifices that came up once a year, her husband Elkanah gave Hannah lots and lots more of the meat from the sacrifice than he gave to Peninnah, because he seemed to love Hannah more than Peninnah, even though Peninnah had borne him all his children. And as a result of this sort of behaviour, Peninnah used to bully Hannah to the extent that when they were there for the celebrations and the sacrifices on their yearly visit, Hannah was reduced to tears by the taunting of Peniah, saying, "I've got the children of this family, you've got none. You're barren, you're useless, you'll never amount to anything." Elkaniah, her husband, seemed to be completely oblivious to this bullying, and he seemed to simply say, "Well, isn't my love for you greater than 10 sons?" Of course, this didn't really cut it with Hannah, who was being bullied to the point of tears and to the point where she couldn't eat the meat that he gave her, because she just couldn't. She just felt so awful. And this happened year after year as she went to Shiloh, where she was bullied by wife number two. What a terrible sort of place Hannah was in the family relationship, watching year by year go by with Peniah having all these kids running around, all calling her mum, all calling her dad, and she had none. So we reach a point on the slide where Hannah determines that she is going to pray a prayer, and she runs off into the temple, leaving the others feasting, and she says, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." Wow, what a prayer. She's asked God to give her a son, and then she will give him back to God for all the days of his life. She will give him up once he's been given to her. How incredible is that? This time of prayer that Hannah was having, she ran off into the temple somewhere and was mumbling it to herself somehow. And the priest in the temple thought that she was drunk on the wine sacrifice and said to her, "How dare you be acting like a drunken woman in the middle of the temple, mumbling to yourself and swaying around like that?" And she said, no, I am praying this prayer. I am praying for the Lord to give me a son. I am not drunk." And the priest sort of realized he'd made a mistake. And he said to her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." This was the turning point in Hannah's life. This was where she got in touch with God personally, and God answered her prayer. As so often in the Old Testament, we find that there are gaps in the text. And it seems that God answered Hannah's prayer, and sort of 9 months later, she had a son. And she weaned the child. And it was some years later, it seems, when she took him back to the temple, because she had the privilege of having her son with her, I guess, as he was a baby and a toddler and sort of grew into ladhood, as it were, and became a young lad. And at a certain point, maybe when he was 8, I'm not sure, there's no sort of defined time when this weaning had been completed, but at a time when he could function on his own, at that time, as she went back to the temple for the yearly sacrifice, she determined that this was the year that she had to give her son back to God. And she goes to see Eli in the temple, the priest in the temple, and she said, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him." So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. Can you imagine what Hannah went through to give up her son and leave him in the temple with the priests to learn how to become a servant in the temple and maybe one day to become some sort of priest there? But whatever, he was considered to be what was known in those days as a Nazarite, somebody completely given to God from his birth, who never ever cut his hair. Hannah must have gone home feeling a sort of joy and yet at the same time feeling so sad that the next time she would see her son is when she went back next year for the sacrifice. It's now that Hannah prays her fantastic prayer, which goes on further than I've got on this slide. But Hannah prayed, "I am bursting with good news, God news. I'm walking on air. I'm laughing at my rivals. I'm dancing my salvation. Nothing and no one is holy like God. No rock, mountain like our God. Don't dare talk pretentiously. Not a word of boasting ever, for God knows what's going on." How incredible. Somebody had just given her son to God, the son that God had given her because she had prayed for him. I'm bursting with God news. I'm walking on air. How incredible. What a powerful prayer. I'm dancing my salvation. Imagine her dancing with the joy of the Lord as she worshipped in this prayer. Nothing and no one is holy like our God. You'll notice that I've got this on the slide from the Message version. It's much, much better in the Message version than in more traditional translations. And it's a fantastic prayer. Well, we're going to jump forward now 1,096 years to the time of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we get the very well-known passage that we often get read to us at Christmas. The Holy Spirit will come on you, that is Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And Mary replied, after a lot of questioning of the angel, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And we have an interesting contrast here to Hannah, who had the birth of Samuel after she prayed to God. Here, God has come to Mary and said, "You're going to have my son. You have been deeply chosen and valued, and I've selected you to bear a son of God." And Mary has turned round and said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And we've got Hannah, who was probably an older lady at the time she had Samuel, having tried for years to have a child, to Mary, who was selected by God when she was quite a young lady, to have and bear the Son of God. Well, now we get to Mary's prayer. And Mary, having discovered that she was pregnant with Jesus, as the angel had said she would be, went off to visit her relative Elizabeth, and while she was there, she came out with this amazing prayer, something that we often call the Magnificat, something that I've decided that we'll have in the Message version rather than the traditional version, because it so opens the prayer up and is so fantastic. "I'm bursting with good news," Mary says. "I'm dancing the song of my Saviour God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose name, whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him." Wow, what a prayer. And that goes on, that goes on. But we've just kept this bit. And isn't it amazing how Hannah says that she is bursting with God news, with good news. And Mary says, "I am bursting with God news, with good news. I am dancing the song of my Saviour God." And Hannah said that she was dancing with the joy of her God. What an amazing connected prayer these two ladies have, these two mums. Incredible that God has inspired both through his Holy Spirit and looked after both of these ladies, both of these mums, in completely different ways. Now, you may be wondering how these two ladies are joined together, apart from the sort of connectedness of their prayers. Well, one of these connected things that these ladies also have, these two mums, is that Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And Samuel became the prophet in Israel, who was very, very important. And he is the one who anointed the young shepherd boy David with oil and said, "God has chosen you to be the king of Israel," before he was even in a position to become king. And David went on to become king of Israel, as chosen and selected and anointed by the prophet Samuel. And Mary, of course, was a direct descendant of King David, and so was Jesus in the line of King David. So there is an incredible connection down the years of history between Hannah and Mary and their prayers, and also between their two sons. These two mums are separated by 1100 years, but they are connected by one God, and they were both deeply valued by one God, and both of them connected by their joy and their praise of that one God. Hallelujah.